So, Dave, Becky.
Yes, Sam?
How do you guys feel about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh, okay. So, the show is so gritty, it makes me feel gross after watching it. Like, I just cannot handle that show. It's not my sense of humor.
And that's coming from someone who ostensibly lives in what is called Grit City here.
This is true.
it's rarely sunny in Tacoma.
I have to admit that I do kind of have to watch it kind of bunched up in the corner of my couch and only through one eye with the rest of it covering my face, because as a show goes, I mean, it's really incredibly well done, but it is, I just always feel embarrassed when I watched it. Not like that I'm watching it, I feel embarrassed by what's happening on the screen, which I think in a way is a good...
I think that's what they're going for.
Yeah, like. I think it's good writing. Yeah, I think they've achieved the thing they are looking for. This is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam. Your number is 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Joining me today is Dave. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, thank you.
And Becky, how are you?
Great, Sam.
So, there's a reason I'm asking this. A Pennsylvania high school student was invited on the TV show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia after getting kicked out of her prom for wearing a tuxedo. Ania Wolf was sent home from her prom at Bishop McDevitt Catholic High School when she arrived wearing a tux. Wolf's mother said the school announced a change in dress code for the dance in a last-minute email. When Wolf arrived, she was immediately turned away by a school official who threatened to call the police. When her story was picked up by news reports, Rob McElhenney, creator and star of Always Sunny, sent a tweet to Wolf inviting her and her tux to film an episode of the show.
Sweet, sweet gig, sweet deal, I guess. I mean, really, this is supposed to be one of her culminating high school events. And the fact that she got
is
dressed
it?
Up.
Really?
It is supposed to be. I
really?
Said it's supposed to be. But
that's a pile of crap.
Clearly, she is someone who wanted to celebrate this culminating event, had gotten dressed up, had gone through all the motions, and was barred from entering her prom with the threat of police. I mean, talk about overreaction here.
Yeah, well, I think the story, I think everything you need to know about the story and about exactly what's going on are in the two things, the Bishop McDermott Catholic High School and the last minute email. They didn't want the attention of saying that they weren't going to allow somebody to allow a girl to wear a tux, but they didn't, you know, they wanted the rule because they by all means have to control women at, well, basically anybody, but especially women at all times. And the only way they're going to be able to get away with that is by making changes at the last minute. This is underhanded and stupid and makes you 800 times more childish than any student you might be teaching at your high school.
Pretty much. This is a girl who's all her life has said she's just more comfortable in boys' clothes. Like,
right.
She's not trans. She's not any, like, she's just likes wearing pants and loose t-shirts. That's who she is. And so when it came to the dance, she's like, I never liked dresses. Why would I wear a dress to my dance?
Right.
My prom. And if you look at the picture, she looks great in her tux. It's a fantastic tux.
I actually specifically decided not to look at a picture because I don't care how she looks in the tux. She should be allowed to wear it.
Agreed 100%.
Yeah.
But props to you. She is rocking that tux.
Right on.
So I chaperoned the prom of the high school that I work at last weekend or a few weekends ago.
Yeah.
And I specifically, you know, I was looking for, you know, party dresses and whatnot. And I said, I don't really feel comfortable in these kind of party dresses in front of my students. And I wore... some
Elvis Costello song about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
But I wore slacks, a vest, and a tie. You know, some folks are saying, okay, yeah, you look kind of spiffy, or, oh, are you trying to send a message? And I said, well, if I'm trying to send a message, is that I want to get fancy. I don't want to wear a party dress in front of my students that might be a little bit more revealing than I'm comfortable with. But these are fancy clothes, and it looks kind of spiffy, and it's fun, and it feels fun to get dressed up like that.
Yeah.
And so just being able to show people that it isn't about whether you're trans or how you identify, it's that this is someone that wants to wear what they want to wear, and the fact that you would have a police called... to say, oh, you're causing a disruption.
The police were threatened.
Threatened, yeah. They didn't actually get to that point because she left. Because she's like, why am I going
to
fight?
Well,
this?
Me and I have to admit, me in high school, I was kind of spoiling for a fight. I did ask if I could wear a dress.
Nice.
I wasn't going to graduate anyway, so who cares?
Okay, so this is something that I never knew that you and I had in common. I actually did get a dress to wear to prom. I just didn't end up going to prom that night.
Yeah.
I went and saw Apollo 13 wearing a dress.
That's a beautiful story. That's kind of amazingly Dadaist.
Yeah,
I'm really
I like that. That's well done.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, I found out years later, because as I'm rushing out the door wearing my dress, it was more just like a skirt with a t-shirt. It wasn't like a prom dress. It wasn't slinky or anything. But I go rushing out the door and wave bye to my dad. Like, Dad, bye, Dad. I'll see you later. Apparently, he had some sort of crisis about that. And my mom told me she came home 2 hours later and he was blasted drunk trying to figure out what was going on with me. And she's like, it was a joke. Get over it.
Oh, my parents were very much okay with that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing I do have is, you know, they didn't really care what I did as far as I went.
See, I will give a lot of credit to my dad because he's not comfortable with that stuff. He's definitely more conservative, probably the most conservative member of the family, although he's not very conservative.
But
there. Okay. Weird story time.
Uh-oh.
When I was about 12, I had this moment. Okay. It's just a weird thing. You know, when you're 12, you see the world as it is and you want to explore stuff and learn stuff and everything. And I was always curious about my mom wearing her purse. She looked comfortable. I never was comfortable with like backpacks or anything like that. And so just out of curiosity, I put on her purse just to see what does it feel like to have a purse? That's the type of thing a 12-year-old does, right?
Right.
So my dad sees me, comes walking in the room, sees that, and he's like, why are you wearing mom's purse? Like, I'm just curious, and put it back and a little embarrassed and shy and everything. And my dad, all of his credit, even though he like really uncomfortable with anything LGBT, he's like, you know, if you want to make a change in your life, we can make that happen. Like, it's okay for you to talk to us about that. Which it wasn't about that at all, but I will always remember that moment of my dad is willing to dive headfirst into the sea that makes him most uncomfortable if I wanted that.
Well, that makes him a stronger person than most of the people we talk about on this story on the show then.
Certainly at Bishop McDevin High School.
Yeah, but I want to go back and culminating moment of high school, really.
For some individuals, it indeed is a culminating moment of high school.
Yeah, but you demanded, you not demanded. I'm doing that for theatrical purposes. You suggested that it was supposed to be the culminating moment for everyone.
Gah. I stand corrected.
Is it not graduation? Is that not why you were there?
Exactly.
This is a weird situation where it's like, yeah, I wore a dress. Is that supposed to be bad? I don't know. For me, the culminating moment of high school is driving away. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Be back in a minute.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I wanna bring it back, but it's
more than basic. You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Going into the break, I was thinking of a sentence, and then my brain blanked on it a little bit. But I was trying to say, just because I've worn a dress in high school doesn't mean I understand a damn thing. That's not what I'm suggesting. Can I just get that out there?
I think so.
Can I have that in the ether?
I think, yeah, I think that that would probably go for all of us.
Yeah.
That everyone who experiences the challenges of being LGBT,
right,
is something that we will do our best to celebrate, embrace, and accommodate, but it's not something that we necessarily understand firsthand.
Well, there are things that I can understand. The things that I can understand are the desire to be accepted by one's community and one's peers. I definitely understand that. I definitely understand the desire to be accepted given the identity that I want to show the world. These are things that I definitely understand because I've had my own arguments with them over time. But beyond those very surface level things, this whole argument, this whole moral majoritarian argument is something that's utterly incomprehensible to me, kind of on both sides, because one, I'm not the person they're targeting. I can't really speak for those people. But then the incomprehension of the other side, the reason why are you making a fight out of this? I don't understand why you're making the fight out of this. I mean, I understand that you're making the fight out of this because you feel like you're losing your ascendancy over American society. I definitely know that's why you're fighting it. But why you're choosing to fight it in this way boggles me. Yeah, I just don't understand it.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I don't... It's one of those weird things. It's like, we are going to find the littlest thing, the tiniest thing, and we are going to act like this is the foundational moment for the future of this country.
I mean, even here in Washington, we've got I-15-15, which is on the books.
I couldn't believe that actually is the thing that existed. Like, when I saw that, like, no, they didn't... They're not proposing that here, are they?
Well, when you've got this whole sort of infrastructure named Tim Iman, who teaches how to people how to basically get a bunch of direct democracy stuff on the bill, which, you know, he's certainly allowed to do, I'm not surprised by this.
I would like to point out that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is proud to be an endorser of the Washington Doesn't Discriminate campaign, or Washington Won't Discriminate campaign, which is raising awareness and advocacy against this I-15-15, which is an utterly ridiculous argument to we just want privacy by shaming and harming others in our midst, right?
Yeah.
The favorite thing was that logo. Man.
Well, I don't know if that... To me, it's unconfirmed as to whether or not that's actually the logo I-15-15 supporters are planning on using.
It's sort of Peeping Tom kind of male-looking outline looking over a wall at a woman bathroom-looking figure in a shower.
Yeah. I mean, is that a figure of something, an iconograph of something that you're supposed to be allowed to do? No, but I don't think the gender's the problem there. I think the violation of privacy is. I don't really care if it's Frunobulax King Dog of Beta Reticula looking at me. I don't want him looking at me when I'm showering. I'm pretty sure Becky feels the same way.
If I'm sitting in a stall in the bathroom, I don't care the gender of the person whose head comes over the top. That person is a problem.
Yeah. So to show my incomprehension, I made a response button, which I decided I liked either way, whether or not it was real, which was no on I-15-15, and it's no octopodes using a hairdryer.
Because we just want to protect public safety and the peace.
Because they don't have hair. Why do they need hair dryers? I say, there's a lot of the thinking behind this that I just find incomprehensible. I think kind of because they haven't thought it out themselves. Because what are they actually fighting for? Well, as it happens, two Oklahoma state senators introduced a bill that would require schools to provide separate bathrooms and locker rooms for religious students who request it. The bill would make school build facilities that prohibited transgender students. The legislation states that single-use facilities are not an acceptable accommodation. The bill comes less than a week after a letter from the Obama administration directing schools to allow trans students to use bathrooms of their gender identity. Senator Brian Bingaman and Speaker Jeffrey Hickman wrote the bill in response to what they described as an emergency situation needing to protect public peace, health, and safety. Oklahoma teachers' wages are in the bottom three in the nation. Adjusted for the cost of living, they are 37th.
So it seems like this is an excellent use of our, energies in Oklahoma to try
and money
to try and address this particular issue when we have things like low teacher pay, 45th in per pupil expenditures when adjusted for regional cost differences,
yeah,
35th in the nation in terms of percent of taxable resources going to education, and now we know that among that, taxable resources might be going to build new bathrooms for religious people, right? And 37th in terms of students scoring well on AP exams. I mean, Oklahoma is not doing very well in terms of its educational outcomes.
Right.
Yet this is the educational focus that some folks in their legislature want to take.
We are talking about the apex of the obtuse triangle, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So are you surprised by this?
Oh, no.
I'm just saddened by it.
I'm not surprised at all.
I'm not surprised nor saddened.
I just think it's interesting that, like, they describe this as an emergency situation. Suddenly, trans people pooping is an emergency situation that must be dealt with.
It's political positioning because they don't like the president.
Right.
That's what that is. There's nothing surprising there. Nothing that they're doing requires that they treat this as an emergency. This is merely just saying words for the purposes of looking good.
There's one line that seems really curious on the surface of it, and that the legislation was stating that single-use facilities are not an acceptable accommodation.
This is precisely it, and this is why I say I pretend I don't know what's going on, except anybody who's been watching this particular fight over the last 40 years knows precisely what's going on. This is the ascendancy of religion. They say no. They say they have the security concerns, you know, and in order for these security concerns to be met, people must be groped before they go to the bathroom or individual bathrooms. But now they're saying individual bathrooms don't work because their concept of American society is being challenged, because they believe that they are the gatekeepers of what American society is. So it can't be gendered bathrooms anymore. It can't be separate bathrooms. It has to be bathrooms that meet their moral codes and keep them away from us hoi polloi who don't think as they do and therefore are useful only to be meat shields and punishment fodder. I mean, that's really what this is. This is the politics. This is where all of the armor wears away, all the rhetoric wears away, everything that makes this argument make any sense whatsoever wears away, and it obviously becomes an argument about religious social control over the American way of life. Full stop.
Right.
Wonderfully artful way of stating that. What I also see is that this is a continuation. This line of saying, no, a single stall in the nurse's office, you know, a single bathroom in the nurse's office isn't enough of an accommodation for students who have these sincerely held religious beliefs. That in and of itself is a dig at the Obama administration and a dig at various municipalities and states that have said, we want to be a fully inclusive place, and saying, all right, if our trans kid is uncomfortable using the boys' bathroom and she wants to use the girls' bathroom, then that's okay. Well, it's not really okay. You have to change out for PE in the nurse's office. You have to use the restroom in the nurse's office. And with states and with municipalities and school districts and the Obama administration saying, no, don't segregate unnecessarily your trans students based on their gender identity. Have them fully integrated into regular bathroom use, just like everyone else.
Well, the great thing about this, and the thing that totally totally destroys this and will be very, this will be very, if this gets any purchase at all, if this gets any legislative purchase, which I bet it won't, if it does, this gets killed quickly for the same reason that religious school vouchers got killed in Louisiana. All you need is the local Muslim community going, well, great, can we have our own bathrooms, including bathroom, you know, rooms next to the bathrooms for our you know, for our prayers?
For prayers, yeah.
Yeah, that are not connected to the, you know.
You mean our religious privilege might apply to other religions?
Yeah, and now we start talking about religious plurality, and it's like, oh, wait, this isn't just for Christians? Well, never mind, then.
Could the Satanists request bathrooms for Satanists that are, like, multi-genders and for the specific purpose of having orgies or something?
About that, hey,
you know, they could be.
I think that would violate the restriction on disruption of educational environment.
Yeah, but you could. Well, okay, so you have like a bathroom with like spikes on the toilets, like have totally metal throne toilets.
Are we talking about a Game of Thrones sword kind of?
Hey, yeah, that would work.
I think
I have never thought in a million years that I'd spend this much time about. I'm not a big fan of going to the bathroom. Just, you know, it's something I got to do because I'm a biological thing, and that's I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it.
Well, here's the other thing.
Until now.
Here's two other, you know, religious groups that have very individualized, prescribed bathroom sort of rituals. One we've talked about in the past is the Jainists, yeah. A specific sect of Jainists that need to eliminate their bodily waste away from where people gather. Are they going to give off-campus, open-campus passes to those type of Jainist students to go off
community
campus
garden?
And do that? I guess so. And
no
we,
one goes there.
Are we going to? Are we going to install mikvahs, ritual baths for our Orthodox Jewish populations in our public schools? Because if this bill passes, it means that anyone can request a religious accommodation to the bathroom facilities.
Right.
So, Becky, you've got you've collected some educational statistics, which I think every time Oklahoma wants to do something weird and religious with educational stuff, these numbers need to come out.
Yeah, so I'll just reiterate
just
that
go through them, right?
we've got 45th in per pupil expenditure when adjusted for regional cost differences, 35th in percent of taxable resources going to education, and 37th in rating 37th in students scoring at least a 3 on AP exams, so that's scoring well in AP exams, and 42nd in growth rate of students scoring a 3 or higher on AP exams. So that's growing the number of students that test well in those advanced classes. Here's my favorite one. Oklahoma, surprisingly, does very well in having a small gap in educational achievement between students living in an economic advantage and economic disadvantage. Here's the problem, though. All students across the board test very poorly in terms of educational knowledge. So this is really where you want to be spending your energies, Oklahoma.
Anyway, good news or bad news? What do you guys want?
Let's go good news.
Alrighty. Wait, no, this isn't good news. This is just okay news. An interfaith group that included atheists, Christians, and Jews came together to clean up a vandalized synagogue in Iowa. The Sons of Jacob Synagogue was defaced with spray-painted crosses and the words, Jesus Saves. Volunteers from two local atheist groups joined with members of the synagogue and local Christians to clean off the paint. The group told reporters that this type of vandalism will not be allowed. Police are investigating the incident as a hate crime. Like I said, not really good. Well, I mean, okay, obviously defacing of a synagogue with your own religious stuff, definitely a bad idea. But the fact that the community comes together to clean it.
Right. You have atheists, you have Christians, you have Jews
yeah.
coming together just saying, no, this is unacceptable. We may have our differences in our beliefs, but this is not how you treat other people.
The purposes of the reason why it was necessary for the community to come together to do this are bad. But the fact that the community came together to do this, I think, is a great example of why a secular government is necessary and why a secular government works.
Right.
I think it is, too. It shows also that there are people of religion and people that do not have religion that want it enshrined to be able to have pluralistic societies and want to have people be able to have their religious community gathering spaces free from harassment and free from damage and free from threat of other people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these two atheist groups that were helping out in this, they don't want to see the synagogue torn down and everyone become atheist by, you know, by fiat or atheist by force.
Right.
Clearly not.
No.
And I would say that that's the majority of Americans in general.
I would prefer that everybody just sort of casually and quietly agree with me.
No spray paint even needed.
No, no. Like I said, the reason for it is bad, but...
I'm curious about... Okay. In general, Jesus saves is a pretty innocuous statement. It's only the combination of using those words on a synagogue that turns it into a really dark statement. I'm wondering if the person who does this even realizes that. I've met some pretty moronic religious people, honestly, who don't understand
that. Today's great debate. How dumb is the person who defaced this synagogue?
Pretty dumb.
Rather stupid or deeply stupid?
But yeah, do they not know how much baggage this statement carries in this context? Could they like just be completely unaware of that?
Oh, I'm certain they're unclear of the total historical baggage that's involved. I'm pretty sure a person who would put this on probably thinks the Protocols of the Elders of Zion is history. probably unaware of the blood libel, that sort of thing. So I think I'm going to go with deeply stupid.
Deeply stupid, okay.
Becky?
I'm going to go with just not very deep.
Ah! I don't even know what that means.
Back that up. I think that someone who is willing to do that is not thinking deeply about all of those contexts.
Yeah.
All of the fact that we're in a pluralistic society. The fact that you're targeting what may or may not be a minority community in our. In our country, and that you're just interfering with someone's private property, and you want your right to be able to freely practice your religion. Great. So do the folks at this Sons of Jacob, synagogue.
This is the type of person that when there's a story comes out about like a coach praying with his students and everything, they don't care about the context of secular state and government and authority. All they care about is like, well, he's praying to Jesus. Why would you have a problem with that? Like,
right.
Jesus is good.
Right. Well, once the cans of spray paint are involved and you're near a synagogue and you're no longer just praying to Jesus.
Right.
Now there's crime involved. Right. Yeah. Members of a British right-wing political group posted a video of themselves invading a halal slaughterhouse. Jada Frensen and other members of the group, British First, taped themselves entering the slaughterhouse and yelling at the employees and customers. In the video, Frensen accuses the butchers of offering up the meat as a sacrifice to false gods and Satan, then declares that Great Britain is a Christian nation and that Christians can't eat meat offered up to a false god. Frensen also said that he didn't fight for their country so that customers in the shop could turn the nation into Little Pakistan.
Her grandfather didn't fight. That's,
her grandfather.
Sorry.
Okay, no problem. According to The Independent, about 400,000 Muslims from Pakistan and India fought for the British during World War I.
Here's where we get to deeply stupid.
No, I think they're all kind of the same deeply stupid. And they're all a bit of the same. The hybrid of, or the, you know, the nation and religion sort of intertwining and deciding that anybody who doesn't agree as you do. Right.
This also comes at the time when London has elected a Muslim mayor. This is a first in their history.
Yeah.
And so I can't help but, maybe perhaps see this as somewhat connected, where people say, oh no, our leader is now Muslim. This is now turning our country into Little Pakistan, which is a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... there are so many things wrong with the story, but there's one little thing I kind of want to pick up here just for a moment.
Okay.
She claimed that they are offering up meat to false gods and Satan.
Yeah.
Now, Christians of this type believe Satan's like actually real, like physically exist, concrete. This is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan is, a supernatural being of more power than humans. Does that mean Satan would be a false god or a real god? So if you're offering it up to Satan, isn't that still offering it up to a real god?
I have no idea.
You're trying to penetrate the logic of these folks when halal meat is merely meat that is butchered in a certain way as prescribed by the Muslim god. It's not as a sacrifice to whatever god that you may or may not be believing in, whatever supernatural force you may or may not be believing in. So, that logic, I don't know how it pans out, but it does not apply to the Muslims that are trying to run this meat factory.
I would think. Meat factory.
I was trying not to use the word slaughterhouse again, but, yeah.
Butcher shop?
But there we go. Butchery, yes.
Yeah. Butchery. That's better. When we're talking about making meat, Becky, there's not a lot of good words out there. I mean, abattoir. I mean, what are you looking for?
I don't know, carniceria maybe.
Oh, I like that one. That's pretty good.
So we have here again people vandalizing and invading a place that this isn't a place of worship, but it is a place where people of a particular religion are going to be doing their religion thing not in the face of anyone else, not harming anyone else.
Precisely. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. When we come back from the break, porn.
Forty-8 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. A conservative politician posted a screenshot of his computer on Facebook with two porn sites open on the tabs. Mike Webb announced his intention to run as an independent in Virginia's 8th Congressional District after losing the Republican nomination. Webb, who regularly posts Bible verses and religious messages, posted a screenshot on his Facebook page that had open tabs labeled Layla Rivera and Yvonne Sexy Amateur. Webb deleted the post and wrote a long, rambling message about God using his mistake to lead people to his website.
Rookie mistake, pal. Rookie mistake.
I think he really wants to engage in Congress. He just doesn't understand the definition that mutually accepted by elected leaders.
If you don't turn that safe search on, so the words that you would not expect will take you to sites.
Yeah, safe search is definitely a necessary thing. On the other hand, it is 2016. It is the 21st. What if he just owned it? Yeah, I watch porn. What of it?
Yeah.
Well, he actually, in that long rambling post where he had Bible quotes and he said that God is leading more people to my campaign site and something like that, he actually did say that he was legitimately looking at those particular sites. But his reason was ridiculous.
His reason? No, I didn't hear his reason.
His reason was that he had heard that some of these websites could infect your computers with viruses. He seemed to also suggest in one of these rambling posts that it was actually Republican leaders that enabled these pornography websites to be full of viruses, and that was a danger, and he was trying to slam his opponents and things like that. But he said that he was just doing legitimate research to see to what extent his computer might be infected with viruses.
Is this a guy who told his mom that he read Playboy for the articles when he was a kid?
I'm almost certain. I mean, I watch a lot of embarrassing stuff. Let's say a couple weeks ago, I had to watch Hercules in New York for Mike's show. Becky walked in the door when I was watching the 3-hour version of The Watchmen. It was during the sex scene.
Of course.
And I just, at this point, because of what I do, I just go, Becky, it's for work. Just whatever.
You're a media analyst, right? So that's
something like that. Yeah.
So is Mike Webb, apparently.
Right.
There is something else about, like, just owning a mistake like this. When you try to talk your way around it, it always works out so badly. We were talking in pre-show about Bill Clinton when he was asked about smoking pot and he came up with the excuse of didn't inhale and blah, blah, blah. It turned into a huge deal. And I was mentioning, nobody remembers, Al Gore was asked the same question. And his response was, yeah, it was the 60s.
Right.
And I was like, okay, good answer. Moving on.
I always did wonder if the reason Clinton did said it that way wasn't to say that, you know, he was somehow sin-free. Because that didn't even stick then, let alone now.
Right.
But to say, yeah, I was that much of a loser in college.
I was just succumbing to peer pressure and faked at the smoking.
Peer pressure.
So there's more stuff that Mike Webb actually has, because he keeps posting these things, deleting them. It's amazing the things that he does. The way that he's trying to walk around this.
The campaign has hit an iceberg and is sinking.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
But he said that he's a preacher's son and that he has turned this now, not only into I was doing legitimate research and God is leading people to my campaign site, he's turned this into an argument for American freedom values. The values of American freedom.
American freedom values?
Yes. He says that...
Four. That's a value.
Absolute value? I don't know. We'll put bars on either side of it. But he says that that we as a country, we are champions of the freedom of individual exercise of his or her choice. And he says that as an aspirant to public office, his Lord has to be the rule of law. And I love it because he puts the Lord in quotes as if it's like, the
well,
Lord.
Like, you mean like I would?
Yes, exactly. And he says that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he's like, it's okay if you want to look at pornography because we live in a place that has many and much freedoms, right? But me and my house, no. We were going to serve the Lord and not engage in this sort of viewing
research.
Habits. Research. There we go.
Now, I admit by the time this hits the feeds, this may well be solved one way or another. But is this his way of saying, no, I watch porn, what of it?
I don't know.
It could be. Although I do... You mentioned he said he's the son of a minister or son of a preacher?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a winning combination.
Well, I'm wondering, maybe he could use this to his advantage. Maybe his new campaign song should be Dusty Springfield's Son of a Preacher Man.
I was going to say, saying that you're the son of a preacher isn't the greatest way to talk about your morality and why you should run the nation.
I mean, PKs are a thing.
Right. Also, Sam Kinison is a thing. Just put that out there. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Learn how to use the internet, people.
Rookie mistake, pal.
Real easy. Okay. A professor at a Seventh-day Adventist college claimed that he was fired for inviting an atheist to speak to his class. Professor Aubin Fulton, who has taught at the Pacific Union College for 28 years, invited former Adventist and atheist blogger Ryan Bell to speak to his class about Bell's path out of religion. The college's president, Heather Knight, canceled the appearance 4 days before it was scheduled. Fulton wrote a long post on Facebook claiming that he has learned he will be fired both for inviting Bell and for publicly criticizing Knight for her decision to cancel the appearance. Knight denies that she was told Fulton he's... Knight denies that she has told Fulton he's fired. But that's a really specific denial.
Yeah. I have not informed him yet. Well, and the other thing is that Fulton said, you know, even if she hasn't specifically said it, my contract's up at the end of the year, they are not going to hire me. I know in June I will not be teaching here anymore.
Right.
So
this is a very easy way of saying, I'm not firing someone, I'm just neglecting to renew their contract.
Right.
This is very interesting, though, because what it belies is that you have religious institutions that are wanting to engage people in the debate of why some people do leave their religion, why people test out not being religious. And as someone who was quite invested and engaged in a religious community myself, we did explore that. And I actually kind of enjoyed exploring that as well, of why someone didn't do that. So you could sort of look to see how you can re-engage your proverbial flock or re-engage the people in your community. We looked at that, in Judaism, in modern American Judaism, with the advent of egalitarianism, where men and women could have equal roles in the rituals, in reading from the scriptures and doing all those kinds of things. You actually had a decline in the involvement of men because, well, one of the theories posed was that women could now fulfill all those roles, and so men didn't feel important in their religious community anymore in that same way. And so there was a movement to try and say, how do you engage men and women in religious life in the community? And you have a lot of places of academic, endeavors trying to look at this, and you have on the other side people saying, no, don't let him on our campus with his atheist cooties, right? You have things like if you're at Brigham Young University and you leave the faith, then we don't want you on campus because now you've left the faith and now you have to pay higher tuition. And it sort of demonstrates that tension that is in the conversation and in the milieu of modern religious life in America when you have, upwards of a third of young people in the nation that are not religiously engaged and who may or may not be identified atheists, but don't affiliate with a religion at all.
This is an interesting situation for me. I've always been fairly strongly against religious parochial schools in the K-12 arena, because now they're getting, the only purpose for these schools, the only purpose from these schools, going back a couple thousand years at this point, is indoctrination. There's no other purpose for them.
Right.
A lot of people make arguments for the case that, in the case of like Catholic schools, how, for example, the educational quality is better, but we're starting to see that that's not necessarily the case in a lot of circumstances. I wonder at the educational quality at, say, Catholic schools in Oklahoma, for example. I wonder how it would stack up against. It might be good. It might be bad. I don't know. But the whole purpose of these things has been for the purposes of indoctrination. So as a human being who believes in free choice and in humanism, I think that kind of captive indoctrination is against my morality, and I'm against it. Full right. Stop. That ends somewhere around high school.
Right.
I've always been not necessarily in favor of religiously backed colleges, but I've always kind of looked the other way on some level because the fact of the matter is a lot of these colleges, a lot of the most prestigious colleges in the United States, they're backed by some religious organization or by the Catholic Church, Becky, you probably know this way better than I do about which religions back which
right,
colleges.
You have the Jesuit order that generally is in charge of our Catholic universities. You have Methodist colleges that are very, well and highly regarded. Here locally in Tacoma, we have Pacific Lutheran University that has done tremendous outreach and is generally religiously pluralistic towards all students.
Sort of.
You have institutions of very high repute that have a historical foundation with a religious orientation or are still maintaining the ties with those religious institutions.
In the case of PLU, I put a little asterisk there, but I'm not going to back it up, so feel free to completely ignore me. But just from experiencing talking to people, going to people at PLU, I've always kind of had I can see that it's inclusive, but I also see this other thing, and I'm not really certain, which is the whole point, is I'm not certain here. But we go through situations like this where more and more We're seeing the religious morality and social control aspects of these organizations trying to impugn upon the free exchange of ideas that makes our modern university system as functional as it is. And now I'm wondering, am I doing myself and my community a disservice by basically looking the other way when talking about religiously backed universities?
When it comes to these universities, it's really tough because some of them have some of them, even with very high academic standards, have sort of policies for their students that is just so detrimental to, you know, a growing adult, making a person into a functional part of society.
Some of those colleges, though, are like Brigham Young, which is always...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Which has always been an outlier for me. I would never suggest to anybody that Brigham Young is a good idea.
Right.
Well, you have, for instance, Boston College, which is, you know, smack dab in the middle of a huge metropolitan area that none of the convenience stores that are owned and operated by the campus that are then rented out to other people franchising, you know, their convenience stores will sell condoms. You're talking about a college-age population, but because of the views of the Catholic Church, condoms cannot be sold on campus of Boston College. In terms of maintaining the health and safety and you know, thriving of your student population, I think that that's a huge one.
And I guess what I'm saying, to bring it back to what you were talking about, is I've always viewed Brigham Young as an outlier. Maybe it's not
Maybe
an
it's
outlier.
Not.
Maybe it was a sign of things to come. Let's be honest, the nature of American society as far as its interface with religion is changing. I believe it's changing for the better, because I believe it leads to a way where we can treat each other more equally and be more moral in our interactions, regardless of what your faith is or is not.
Right.
But now that we're challenging the supremacy of Christianity in America, now all of these colleges feel like they're front and center, and the lines of the war are passing through their campuses. Is it campuses or is it campi? Campopodes? Anyway.
Campusopodies.
I keep making this joke, mainly because it's not really a joke. and I just wonder, there's a lot of people who are professors who I've met who teach at these colleges, and I'm not saying they're on the wrong side of it. I'm saying I'm worried about them.
Right, right. And this is a perfect example. This is a professor of psychology who wanted to take, like, it's an Adventist school.
Yeah.
And there's a very famous Adventist who very publicly decided to take... Ryan Belsing was a year without God. He was in the church. He was a pastor. And he decided he's going to try atheism for a year. He's just going to act like he was an atheist for 1 year.
Try and, now!
Yeah. And then at the end of the year, he's like, yeah, I'm an atheist. Like,
right.
I can't go back. The world makes so much more sense this way. And so you have this professor who understands the story and wants the students just to hear it. That's
right.
It. He just wants to expose his students to these ideas. And the president of the college comes in and says, no, you can't have him here. And the reasoning that she gave was basically like, you can bring in an atheist, but don't bring him in to like tell a good story. You need to bring him in to trash him.
Right.
That's basically your purpose here. And if you
she wants to recapitulate God's Not Dead first movie.
that's all we're allowed to do in a lot of cases. And to bring my politics into it, we've got a situation now where the free exchange of ideas in a lot of universities isn't what it's always been. And
right.
Now more and more universities are treating themselves like for-profit institutions that are designed solely to make money.
Right.
And now we have this increasing student debt for people who want to better themselves through education. And I'm honestly thinking the at this point, the student debt problem is a matter of humanism. We're really blocking people off from improving themselves and improving their environments and permitting the free exchange of ideas.
Right.
And I'm speaking as somebody who's maybe spent 4 days in a college. And I just with that and then this closure of free expression, or maybe it was never there to begin with, I don't know. I'm a little afeard of the future of education in the United States. Becky, maybe you're the education person. Maybe we should let you wrap this up.
I would like to see how it goes. I mean, we have universities that are affiliated with religions and those that are public institutions that have been experiencing this tension of, you know, deplatforming, of disinviting, of inviting. We had Brandeis University, which, you know, turned on you know, uninvited Ayaan Hirsi Ali and very famous alumni in our community, alumnus in our community, David Silverman, head of American Atheists, basically wrote a letter trash. His alma mater for that reason, the stoppage of free exchange of ideas. Mm-hmm. But we also have this sort of this tension in our public universities as well. I don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know where it's going to go. But I am interested to find out. And I think that if we are asking students to better themselves, like you said, and take on the challenges of earning a university degree, along with the financial challenges associated with the debt of doing that, then we owe it to students to broaden perspectives, to be able to hear a wide variety of voices, even those we disrespect and we disagree with.
I think I smell a show, a future show. Well, thank you very much, Dave.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Sam.
This is Ask an Atheist. You can give us a call, a voicemail at 844-753-7842. Email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. Twitter us at AskAnAtheistWA. You can find us on Facebook. See you guys next week.